3:35. We are in the middle of the Mamari Chazal. We're up to Chemas Bokar Vachalev Sain. Okay, so it's again 3:35. It's Perek Vav Pasik Dalid. Okay, we're fully with Sukkim, and we're up to where it says on page 3:35. It's 1, 2, 3, 4 lines down in the Likutei Shas Umidrashei Hatanoim. On the very bottom of the page, it says here Chemas Bakar is the cream of Bakar. Chema in the Torah is not butter. In the Torah, Chem is cream. And the Chalev Tzayim,
which is basically like
butter fat. The Chalev Tzayim, okay, and the milk of the sheep. Zehaya b'mei Shlomoy. This blessing that it says in Dvarim. In Perek Lamed Beis, took place in the days of Shlomo HaMelech. That was the time when Klal Yisrael had the ultimate bracha. In Chelev, Karim Be'elim, with the fat of the Karim Be'elim. Zohya B'mei Aser Sashvatim. Shenemar, Oichlim Karim Mitzoyin V'agolim, the Pasuk, the our Pasuk. The criticism of Klal Yisrael is that they are blessed and they use their blessing to rebel against Hashem. They eat the korim mitzoyin, the fattened sheep, vagolim mitach marbek im chelev kilya eschita zehoya. Now then he goes on to explain what's the sur. How do we know that the pasuk on im chelev kilya eschita zehoya b'mei shloma v'dam einav tish techomer zehoya b'mei aser sashvatim shenemar Hashoysim b'mizrikei yoyin. So what he's doing over here is making a parallel. He's saying very, 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 very powerful. This Gemara, this is the Sifrei, a Medrash, that says something very, very fascinating, is that there were two tekufos in the history of Klal Yisrael where they had the ultimate blessing. And that is during the time of Shlomo HaMelech, and during the time of the Aseres HaShvatim. Now, during the time of Shlomo HaMelech was a good time. More or less was a good time where the people, they took the brach that Hashem gave them to serve Hashem. Shlomo HaMelech, he built the Beis HaMikdash, and he came very, very close to bringing Moshiach. He tried maybe too hard. He married the daughter of Paro in order to create a political alliance where he can have influence over the nations of the world to bring Moshiach. Unfortunately, it was a bit premature, and these women who he married to form the political alliance influenced him in the wrong way. They influenced him to worship idols and whatever that means,
to bring it into
Klal Yisrael, therefore it did not turn out well. But nevertheless, during the time of Shlomo HaMelech, the bracha was a tremendous bracha of success. On the other hand, during the time of the Aseres HaShvatim, the incredible bracha was to their detriment. The brach vayishman yeshurun vayivat. So here it's really fascinating chazal. What it says there in the pasuk in Devarim, it says there v'chemas bokar v'chalev tzoyin. That's a code for bimei shlomo. And then when it says in chelev kodin ve'elim, that's aseres hashvatim. And how do we know that's during the time of the aseres hashvatim? What it says here. Look what it says over here. In almost it says over here exactly what was the criticism. The oichlim kodin v'tzoyin v'agolim mitach marbek. On the very top of page 3:34, and then when the pasuk goes on to say, the fat of the kilyos chita, the kidneys of wheat, which just means an expression, which means that they had an abundance of wheat.
The cream of wheat,
which means it's that they were successful. They were very successful. And then when the pasuk was v'dam einav tish techomer, going back to the aseres hashvatim. Okay, it's a whole new pshat. It's a very fascinating idea to read that pasuk in Devarim, and the Devarim where it talks about blessing. There are two time periods in the history of the world when the Jewish people experienced unusual success. In one setting, it was a blessing. They knew how to deal with the blessing. They channeled the blessing to serve Hashem. Ish tachas gaftav tachas tenosoi. It was a very good time. Klal Yisrael, they built the Beis HaMikdash. They rejoiced in Hashem. Until Shlomo died, everything was good. Everything was fun. Okay, you want to go, the Dakim Shebedakim of Shlomo, he married Bas Paro, what it sent in motion, okay, that's a very, very, that's for later. But in this time period, it was blessing, and the blessing was used by Klal Yisrael to serve Hashem. They did not take the blessing and suffer from the sickness of Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivat. However, during the time of the Aseres Hashvatim, we have over here this criticism of Sheikhim al Mida Shein Vesruchim al Arsaisam. Here, the blessing, unfortunately, was a curse. They had so much blessing, they failed to dedicate themselves, to channel the blessing, to serve Hashem. They indulged in the blessing for its own right and led them down a path of Chorban. So it's a really unique type of Maamar Chazal where we're contrasting the two ultimate times of Jewish history where the Jewish people had blessing. In one situation, the blessing was to their benefit, and in the other situation, they did not know how to deal with the blessing, and it led to their destruction. The Aseres HaShvatim, no one suffered more than the Aseres HaShvatim. The fact is, they are lost. Okay, next, now we go to next Chazal. Omar Loi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe, Emor Lechem Lishol, Keshatem Nechnasim Le'aretz, Yatem Asidim, okay, this falls on the same thing we just finished mentioning, is that Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivat. When you come into Eretz Yisrael, I know what's going to happen. Hashem is going to bless you, but you're not going to channel that blessing to serve Hashem. You're going to use the blessing for your own hanoi, your benefit, and that's going to lead to your destruction. V'chein atam ma'itzei v'aseres hashvatim shleigalu elim tech machalu mishte v'shalva. The reason why they went into exile is because they had too much blessing. Too much blessing can be a curse. Shenemar, Hashoichvim, Al Mita Shein, these psukim that we learned, people, they lie down on beds of ivory. Hashoisim, Bimizri, Kayayin, they had too much to drink. Lachain, therefore, the pasuk goes on to say, you're going to go into exile. Okay, next, it's the same idea. It's really pretty much the same idea as the other Maamar Chazal. The advantage is, it doesn't have to be like that. We do, you know. What's so important about the other the first chazal we read is that even though it says in the pasuk Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivot, it doesn't have to be like that. That's just a danger, but it doesn't. And the proof that it does not have to be like that is the time of Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech, well, his generation was blessed with blessing, and they did not rebel against Hashem. They used that blessing to serve Hashem. So, in fact, the Pasuk in Devarim contrasted two different periods. There was a Tekufa of Shlomo and a Tekufa of the Aseres HaShvatim. In one Tekufa, in one generation, the blessing that Hashem bestowed upon them was used to serve Hashem. And Rachmana Litzlan, in the other generation, the blessing that Hashem bestowed upon the people was not used to serve Hashem, but was for self-indulgence, which led them to Chorban. It's like I remember hearing, reading one of the Hespedim of Rav Shmuel Arbach, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, and one of the things he used to say all the time, Premier, I see you pick up your eyes there. All of a sudden, I woke up, oh, don't say anything. No, don't say a word. Shtoik, don't say. But I see, at least I woke you up. Okay, so Rav Shmuel Arbach, he used to say that the Olam says, Niskatnu Hadoiros, that each successive generation, the Madrega, we go lower and lower and lower. We are our ability to become great is diminished. So he used to say, it doesn't say that any. It doesn't say anywhere in Chazal that it has to be like that. Don't let it be a self-fulfilling prophecy. It doesn't have to be Niskatnu Hadoros. If this generation wants to be greater than the previous generation, you can do it. You can.
Requires effort.
effort, you can do it. Don't think, oh, if you're learning too much and you're getting it, you're doing too well. Oh, I have to stop now. I have to stop. I don't want to be able to finish Shas because look, my grandparents, they didn't know Shas, so I can't be better than them. Niskatnu hadoros. I got to watch out. You know, don't be too good. If you're too good, you're in violation of niskatnu hadoros. That's stupidity. That's mamashtus. So it can't be that Bisman Hazed is a gadol b'chacham uva minyan. So he used to say it's a sickness. It's a sick mindset that people think it has to be like that, and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy that you can't be better than the previous generation. It doesn't say that anywhere. And unfortunately, when we look back in history, we see that's what happened. But it doesn't mean that it has to happen in the next generation and the next generation. If you want to go and be better and better, of course you can be better. Same thing over here. This concept, I think really it's the same idea. It's drilled into our mind that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu blesses us, if we live in a generation where we are affluent and everyone has what, parnasa, everyone has success, everyone is doing phenomenally well, it's only going to lead to Chorban. There is such a mindset. As it says in the part, Vayishman, Yeshurun, Vayivot, Yeshurun Klal, Yeshurun become fat. They became fat in the blessing, and then Vayivot, they kicked. They rebelled against Hashem. So we think, that's the way it goes. It's a cycle that you cannot break out of whether you like it or not. And we have just learned in Maimer Chazal that it does not have to be like that. There were two generations that were recipients of Hashem's ultimate blessing. In the generation of Shlomo HaMelech, Ein Hachinami, it led to a Chorban. By Yishman, Yeshurun, Vayiva. And Shlomo, it led to Bracha. They did not rebel against Hashem. In the generation of the Aseres HaShvatim, when they were recipients of enormous blessing, Rachman Litzlan, it did lead to this Chorban of Ayishman, Yeshua and Vayiva. Okay, so therefore, it's a very good, powerful Chazal. Okay, let's now go now to the next man, Chazal Pasuk Vav. It says here, Vereisha Shemonim Yimshachu, it says in this time, the people they ate, they anointed themselves with the best fragrant oils. Omar, Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel, Zepal, Yotoin, what is the Rashis Shemonim? This is balsam oil. Okay, we're soon coming to Purim. Okay, Tu B'Shvat is coming. Tu B'Shvat is 30 days before. Shloishim Yom L'Fnei Achag. This year there are two Adars, Adar Rish and Adar Sheni, but at least Purim Katan. Purim Katan is coming soon. And what did the Nashim, Shisha Chodoshim Mishlemen Hamar, the Shisha Chodoshim, Babesamim Uvisamruke Hanoshim. The women were anointed with, they were smeared with this type of oil. What is the oil over here? Shemen ze pal yotoin. What is pal yotoin? Shemen afar simoin. Period. It's balsam oil. Meisiv Rav Yosef. Af al. Hashimush be pal yotoin. Gozar Rav Yehuda ben Baba. Mishum avelus hachurban. Veloy hoidulo. After the chumbeis finished, there were different Tanoim. They made gezerois. There are things that we are not allowed to do b'zman hazeh out of mourning for the Churban Beis HaMikdash. For example, we're not allowed to have music played or singers. You're not allowed to have musicians at a Sudas Rishus. Okay, if you want to go to a bar, you want to go out, have fun, and you want to hire some people to go and play music, it is forbidden. It is not permitted to play, have someone sing with music at an event that is not a su'udas mitzvah. Now you'll ask, what about a shul dinner, a fundraising event? Okay, they serve. Now the truth is, it's forbidden. Now, let's take a step back. It's only forbidden. The Tekunah was only forbidden to drink wine accompanied by music. So it's not forbidden to have music at a suda's rishus. If you want to go out to a restaurant, as long as you do not drink wine, there is no prohibition to have music.
Even if there's no goyim
there? Even no goyim, that's correct. No, nothing to do with goyim. There's a prohibition to go to a mishte yayin, a bar. What do they do at a bar? They serve any food at a bar?
I don't know.
Remember the television show Taxi?
Yes.
They do serve it.
Yes.
There was a show called Taxi many years ago. Anybody remember that show, Taxi?
Yeah, sure.
So that was a bar, right?
No, it was a Cheers.
Okay, so what's Taxi? What's Taxi then?
Taxi was a taxi company.
Okay, I don't know. That was they did. That was okay. I don't know. Cheers.
They were a taxi dispatch.
A garage.
They were a garage.
In Cheers?
No.
Different.
I'm all confused. Then forget it.
That's good.
I'm all confused. Cheers. I mean Cheers. So there was a bar, right? There was a bar. Did they serve anything in that bar besides wine?
Peanuts
and chips. Pretzels.
Yeah, but there are bars that serve food.
Yeah.
There are bars. Okay, today, in the Skadnu
Hadaris. The classification, though, has to do with the difference between an actual, what's called a bar and a saloon. There's different classifications.
Aha. Uh-huh.
What you're allowed to be called in reality. Not that people follow it, but
Okay.
The reality of it legally.
Okay. But there is something called look, when Achashverosh, when he made a Suuda to celebrate the Churban Beis HaMikdash, it's called a Mishte Yayin. It does not appear they served food.
It's not that. They didn't have musical accompaniment. I think I mentioned
that. Right. There was no music. There's not mention in the Megillah that music was played.
So they used that as a heter,
As a heter, because there's no violation for the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Interesting. Very. That's what it was done by design. He did not have music so that they can come and they can rejoice in the Mishte Yayin. Yeah, but what was the party? It was not a party of food. It was a party just to drink. Come into this event and we serve wine. No food. Okay, there is such a thing. We don't really see this today all that much, but there is such, you're invited for cocktails, right? Is that really what it is?
So yeah. I'm very confused. So what are you not allowed to have? You're not allowed to have one with food.
No. If you have food, it appears that it's permitted. If you do have food, now I don't know all the details of food with wine, but if the party is the party of food, the Dvar Rishus, there is no mitzvah. It's just pure fun. Come out, a night out to enjoy yourself. No daf yomi, no divrei Torah, nothing. No siyum, no fundraising for any Dvar Mitzvah. Just an escape from the world of reality. Come, there's an event tonight. See you at the bar. A reunion, just food, just wine, cocktails, just wine. And at this event where we're going to have a Mishte Yayin, a party of wine, there will be Mordechai ben David, Avrami Fried, we're going to have Shweki, we're going to have Baruch Levine, and they're going to sing for us some beautiful melodies, even though even Toridic melodies. But it's not a Dvar Mitzvah. This is not a Mishte Yayin of Mitzvah. It's pure fun. It is categorically forbidden Bizman Hazeh to have such an event. It's a Shulchan Aruch. You are not allowed to have music and singing at an event that they serve wine only. It's called a Mishte Yayin, and it does not involve any Dvar Mitzvah whatsoever. Therefore, you go to a concert, a Jewish concert, you're not allowed to serve wine. Okay, by these very exclusive concerts, okay, they have the VIP tickets, so the equivalent by Goyim would be they come around, if you get a VIP seat, you pay $300, and they put you in some boxed, some secluded area at the Hask concert was only, what, three nights ago? Okay, that's probably the most exquisite, the most high-end concert in the Frum world. They probably have things in the Eretz Yisrael where they have orchestras. They have, orchestras. But probably in America, in New York, probably the highest-end event is the Hass concert. And it would be normal for them, in such an event, to have to their donors, their sponsors, who they put up in the front in special sections in these big auditoriums, to have waiters come. Would you like a drink? Would you like some wine? Would you like wine? So that, now, I don't know if that would be forbidden 100% for one very simple reason, because it's a fundraiser. the money is going for tzedakah. So that may be a heter. I don't know. I really don't know. But if this was not, if this event was not l'shem tzedakah, l'shem mitzvah, it was just stamazoi, a night out, it would be forbidden to serve wine at an event where there is music with vocals, singing. Why? Because this was a gzeir that was enacted, zecher l'churban. Being that we do not have a Beis HaMikdash, we do not celebrate in such a fashion to have wine together with music. It's a lethal combination. It's too much. Now, if there's food, I don't know the exact parameters. If it's only food,
kosher wine shows that they have,
no music. If they have kosher wine shows, very good kosher wine shows, and they serve, and they're not allowed to have music and singing. They're not allowed to have people, musicians and singers.
Music.
What?
Live music.
Live music, correct. Live music. Okay, you'll say, maybe you'll tell me some heteris business. You'll always find a legal loophole. Okay, you'll find a legal loophole. You say, oh, by a wine show, it's business, parnasa. So you'll say it's not fun. It's not entertainment. It's business. So maybe you'll find a heter business. It's a little bit different. But theoretically speaking, the ikur is a mishdayayin may not be accompanied by music and live singers.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
At events, as you mentioned, the VIP, sometimes they have like a cocktail hour before.
And a private performance.
Somewhere off the...
Off the main auditorium with a private
yeah.
Sample.
So if you have a box at a school house, it's definitely music.
Yeah, but that's not the same thing. We're talking about a concert.
If you have music at a... Then you might even have halftime live music. If you have live music...
Are they serving wine? So it's really not allowed. You're not allowed to serve wine. I'm sure by... Talking about the Super Bowl, right? It has to be...
Wine.
What?
The Jewish people.
So it's not so simple,
right.
Because they have the halftime. They have live singing, okay. They have a halftime show, and there's music, and they're singing. And if you're drinking wine, this is not so simple. If you want to go to the Super Bowl, just don't drink wine. Enjoy the entertainment halftime, but don't drink the yayin. This would be a violation. That is one of the exists. Now, that is something that is accepted. Lehalacha. There were Tanoim that wanted to go further. They wanted to ban meat. No one today can eat meat. You have to be a vegetarian. You got to get your protein from fish and who knows what, but no meat. Why? Zecher l'chorben. So the Gemara says you're going too far. You can't go too far. Also, they wanted to ban the yayin in general. You can't drink one altogether. So the Gemara says that the ein goyishn gezera ala tzibur she'in roivat tzibur yuchon la'amibo, that's excessive. It's excessive to be goyish that you can't eat meat, you can't drink wine. If you want to do that, there's no end. You should be goyish, don't have peros, don't eat fruit. Don't eat because they the bikurim, anything that was resembled what was done in the Beis HaMikdash, the reason why they wanted to ban yayin is because the yayin was offered as nesachim. They want to ban meat because meat is offered as a karban. If you want to go do that, so why stop there? Don't drink water. Water was poured on the Mizbeach for Nisach HaMayim. Don't eat fruit, because fruit was offered as bikurim. Obviously, you can't live without water and without fruit, and bread also, menachos. You can't live without bread. Obviously, you can't go so far. The same way you can't ban water, bread, fruit, so too it's excessive to ban meat and yayin. The only thing that was accepted, lahalacha, is do not have live music and singing accompanying a mishtei yayin. Now, the Gemara there does say they did make an attempt to ban shemen, that a person should not be permitted to smear, to anoint his body, to apply shemen to his body. And that's what this Chazal says. Pasuk Vav in the Likud Shas on page 335. Vereish shemanim yimshach amar bihuta meshmul ze pal yotain shemen afaras main meisir av yosef afal ashimush bepal yotain gozar Rabbi ben Baba. He enacted a gezeira mishum avelo sachurban veloy hoidulo, and the chachamim said no, that's excessive. Do not ban the use of this oil. Now here comes the Gemara's question: the iamart mishum tainug amai loy hoidulo. If this type of oil is purely for enjoyment, It makes sense. Why not? Why not ban oil? We are living in a time of Avelos, of the Beis HaMikdash. That's right. It makes sense. Amar le'abaya ulutameich. Really? You want to be so machmir? You want to go ban bezman hazeh all forms of enjoyment? Then there is no end to it. Ulutameich, chodel siv. It says in this pasuk, what was the cause of Golos? Hashoysim b'mizrike yayin. Here, that's why we are selling this pasuk. This chazal is being cited because this chazal quotes this pasuk. The people, they rejoice by drinking large containers, large cups of yayin. And yet we do not find anywhere that there's a ban, a person, bizman hazeh, may not drink wine. Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, Rabbi Chanan Moran says, what exactly are these things called mizrike yayin? We had this, I told you that we learned yesterday in the Malbum and in the Radak. Okay, this is the source. This is where it comes from. This is what Mr. Rappaport, he showed me, brought the Gemara up yesterday. Everything that we learned yesterday really just comes from this piece of Gemara. This is Konish Kinin, clay, kli zchuches, gavoya, shabal, shtei, tzinoi rice. It's glass, and it has two spouts, and two people drink from it at the same time. And this was a form of rejoicing. V'chanam 1 says, Shemizrokin, koisosem, zelozeh. It's some type of magic trick where people would throw, they would rejoice, they would toss their cups one to the other, and the wine would not fall out. Like we said yesterday, is where it comes from, the minute to make a toast. When you make a toast, it has to be that it's coming from this concept. Are you going to tell me that it's going to be asur? And obviously, what is the answer? The answer is no, because you cannot, there's a limit. Okay, there's a limit, there is a limit to how far a person goes in prohibiting various types of tainuk. So the word, and don't tell me that it's going to be awesome, because we find that Rabbi Avun, he went to this place, and he went to Reish Galusa, he actually did this, he actually drank from this glass, because there are two spouts. So, V'loy Amalei, V'loy Midi, and the Reish Galusa did not say anything to him, did not criticize him. Ella, what's the answer? Kol Midei the Isbe Tainug, V'Isbe Simcha, Gozra Banan. Avol Midei the Isbe Tainug, V'Lesbe Simcha, Loi Gozra Rabban. So the Gemara is making a very fine line. And the fine line is, drinking from these cups, okay, you have a cup, and there are two spouts. I have really no idea what this means. Not sure anyone does. It's a type of tainuk. It's a tainuk to take two to drink from these glass cups with two spouts, or to throw them one to the other, whatever they are. But it only has one of two elements. It has tainuk. It's enjoyable, but it's not simcha. That's what it says. Why? What's the difference between tainuk and simcha? I really do not know. Tainuk is enjoyment, but the enjoyment does not necessarily accompany a joy. I don't really know the fine points. I leave it to your imagination, whatever this means. And the Gemara is teaching us a yisoid that the place, the only thing that we are goyzer b'sman hazeh, at least according to this Gemara in Shabbos, b'sman hazeh, after the Churban is, they have to have a double whammy.
It's for various reasons.
Right, so this was something was enjoyable to drink, in this type of glass.
You could drink to forget.
All right, whatever this is. But this is something which qualifies for tainug without simcha. Okay, this concludes... No, one more chazal, next page 336 on the next page. We have one more chazal, the Sar Mirzach Seruchim. What does it mean that we had so many perushim? It means after you go into Golos, you'll cut out the nonsense. We'll learn now one translation. The Mirzach is the party of the Seruchim. The excessive parties will come to an end. You're not going to behave in this fashion. Amar B'Avo, Minayin Le'ovel Shenesev B'Roish. This is one of the interpretations I was quoted. The word the Mirzach is a mourner. Mar. Michal told us yesterday, the word Mirzach comes from the word Mar. A mourner is in a state of bitterness. So, how do we know this? Here is the source of Sar Mirzach Seruchim. Mirzach Ho'ovel Nase Sar. Mar Mirzach Zach Nase Sar Seruchim. It appears, if I'm not mistaken, maybe the word Zoch. What does Zoch mean? Is Zayin Ches referred to a Sar, a prince? Is there any such connection? Zoch, Zach, Zayin Ches? I have no idea, maybe not. Any event, all it says over here is the word Mirzach is a mourner. He will be a Sar Lisruchim. What is Seruchim? He here says in the brackets, he's the first one that really gave us an explanation because I didn't know really what it means. He learns Seruchim comes from the expression, I guess, Odef, extra. And in this context, it refers to great people. When people come, who comes to be Menachem Novel? Who comes? Everyone. Everyone comes to give comfort to a mourner, including very great, distinguished people. Choshev people. Distinguished people come to give comfort to a mourner. And they are called in this pasuk the Seruchim. But who's the boss? Who is the one that's Yoshev Rosh? Who is everyone giving their attention to? The Ovel. The Ovel is a Sar. He is the master. He is the master to the Seruchim. So it appears, if I'm not mistaken, the Sar means... Is he trying to say that the Sar, we're going to exchange the Samach for the sin, which means the Mirzach, the mourner, will become a Sar, will become a master over the Seruchim, over all of the great people that attend, that come to his home to give him comfort. Or when he sits, when they eat a meal, who sits at the head of the table? The mourner. Because everyone is there to give the mourner comfort. It appears that's what he may be saying, this drasha. We exchange the samach for a sin. The word mirzach means the mourner, miloshon mar. The word seruchim refers to great people, people of distinction, distinguished people. It comes from the word seruach, comes from extra. People who are bonus people, people who are above and beyond, they have extra things that the ordinary person does not have. They have titles of nobility. They have accomplished great things. They are the extra in society, so they're called the Seruchim, and yet the Mirzach, the mourner, will serve as the master over all of the great people which come to his home. He will be lord over them. Now, in this context, it's not a good thing. And the pasuk over here is telling us that because over here you have done terrible averos, you have sinned, now you are going to become mourners. And mourners are in need of comfort. And an expression that describes what a mourner is are these three words. V'sa'asar, mirzach, seruchim, because you have sinned, you have rebelled against Hashem, you're going to go into exile, and the mourning will begin. And the term to define the essence of a mourner is Vesar Mirzach Seruchim. Okay, that concludes this Maim Chazal. We have one more thing to learn, and that is the Chaymas Anoch, the Chidah. Always love learning the Chidah. His stuff is always out of the box, always something a little bit different than what we're used to. And we have over here one Chaymas Anoch on page 337. That pasuk refers to, I've always been anointed meroish. Roish is a reference in that pasuk in Mishlei to the Torah. So first we have to know the basic yisoid is that Hashem has given Klal Yisrael an opportunity to make brachos 100 times a day. Umo Hashem Elokecha Shoyel Neimach Kiim Liyire Oisoi Al Tikrei Mo Ela Me'o. Okay, just change the vowels from ma, komatz, to itzere, and the hey also add a vowel of a komatz, me'o, there's going to be a silent aleph. Think about it, a silent aleph. It's a drasha, okay? It's a drasha, how it works, artikri ma ela me'o, and Hashem wants of us to recite 100 blessings, And if you think about Hashem 100 times, then you will come to have fear of Hashem. I read in an article not that long ago, and I think it's outdated. I think today it's, the numbers are different. But I definitely, I'm not making this up. They've done a study, and they have discovered that the average person, he checks his smartphone 100 times a day. Okay? 100, I think by now it's 200. Okay? 100 times a person just, from the time he wakes up till he goes to sleep, they've done a study, the average person, he looks at the smartphone to see maybe, ulay yirachim, ulay, maybe someone sent me a WhatsApp. Maybe someone sent me a text. Maybe I'll go to a website that I've gone to 100 times. Maybe I'll find a new event that's happened in the world that the world needs me. I have to decide, I have to solve all the world's problems. Right? 100 times a day. So guess what Rabbi Isai? The Ribbono Shlalom was way ahead of his time. And by the way, I'm sorry, I left that one thing. And therefore, the title of the article was addiction. Addiction. We live in a sick society. We're all addicted. V'gamani b'saicham. I'm even more addicted than everyone. I think I'm more addicted than everyone in this whole room put together. Okay? So we live in a world of addiction, and we're addicted to what's called fear. What's it called? Fear of being left out. How does it, what's the Rosh Tevez? FIMO? FOMO. Fear of losing out. Fear of
missing out.
FOMO, fear of missing out. I heard Rabbi Ephraim Shapiro from Florida. He gave a fantastic speech, and he said, he said that in the middle of the night, you have an old timer who's not familiar with all of the slang of this generation. The daughter comes to her father and says, Dad, I got bad news to tell you. I have FOMO. I have FOMO. So the father says, FOMO? He has no clue what it means. He thinks, who knows, if it sounds like, who knows, maybe it's like Ebola. What's, in his vocabulary, there's no difference between Ebola and FOMO, and FOMO, who knows what, right? Hepatitis, who knows what? Dad, I have FOMO. So the father says to the girl, you know, I'm really proud of you that you have the courage to tell me this, that you came to me and you told me, does mommy know? So the girl says, no, I didn't tell her. Okay, you should tell mommy. And I'm going out of town. I can't deal with this. I'm on the next plane out. I can't deal with this. And you know, don't worry, we're gonna deal with this. Everything will be okay, and we have to tell mommy. And he has no clue what FOMO is. He thinks his daughter has some exotic disease, and what his daughter meant to say is, I'm addicted to my smartphone. Fear of missing out. You got to hear his speech. He gave a whole speech. Where basically, he sat over a whole conversation of Rosh Tevez. All of the Rosh Tevez, all of the jargon, the acronyms of all these new terms we never heard of before. All the teenagers know LOL. I never knew what LOL meant until not that long ago. Laughing out loud, right? And
we used to say it meant
lots of luck. Lots of luck. Laughing out loud. FOMO. This. BTW, by the way, NP, no problem. Okay, they're like probably 50 of these things. So he went over a conversation between two people only using the Rosh Tevez of the 21st century. Okay, only using the Rosh Tevez that only came into existence in the 21st century, in the last, let's say, 5 years. Sorry, 21st century. The last 5 years, right? So 2018. Okay, the last 5 years. And you'd be blown away to listen to this conversation. It is so funny, but it's not funny. It's pretty sad, okay? It's pretty sad what we've turned into. In any event, Chazad, this article's focus was that people are addicted to their smartphone, And how do we know? Because studies have shown that people check their smartphone 100 times a day for no reason. For no reason whatsoever. For no reason whatsoever, they just check their smartphone. So Rabbi Yisai, Chazal were way ahead of their time. Rabbi Nishlam was ahead of them. Mo Hashem Elokecha Sholmei Mach. 3,000 years ago, maybe more, Hashem said, I want you to be addicted to me, not to your smartphone, to me. And how will you be addicted to me? If you will force, you will accustom yourself to recite a bracha 100 times a day, then everything you do during your day will revolve around Hashem. Isn't it amazing? If Chazal are telling us that in this society, the world, billions of people in this world are addicted, you cannot get someone's attention, even in this shir. It's unbelievable how hard it is to compete with a piece of glass. How hard is it to compete with a piece of glass? You know, I have a friend. Actually, I'm giving you a preview. I have a journal. I have someone I know. I have to write an ad in the journal. Maybe you'll get a real good laugh out of this. Okay, let me tell you this, because it's so delicious. It's kedai, because Moha Hashem.